Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel for this Thursday, the 15th of October. Very nice to have you with us. And we're inviting you into our radio home, and you're of course inviting us into your home, car, wherever. And we're very happy to be there, that we're together. So we'll try to make the most of the hour. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let me introduce our panel today, and then we'll get into the subjects at hand. WAMC's Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Joe. I have a fast question for you.
Yes, sir.
I know how I'm feeling 2 days out. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I feel like I do remember what it's like to feel like a person.
Because I feel that the adrenaline has now left my body and I'm in bad shape.
Yesterday, I wasn't sure I could walk through the door. Today, I feel
a little better.
You know, like yeah. I can walk in and maybe even walk out. Rosemary Armeo is here. She is a University at Albany journalism professor as well as an investigative reporter, and it's always a pleasure to have her before these microphones. Good morning.
Thank you. I feel the same.
It is, and of course, we have to say, during the fun drive, how many times did we read these words? Love, Rosemary.
Yay.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, people really love you.
Yes. Oh, love them back. We have the best listeners.
Absolutely. And there's a Stu Shinsky fan club out there as well. And why shouldn't there be? Stu Shinsky, who's the executive editor of the Poughkeepsie Journal, and it joins us whenever we can get him and make the trip up the Northway or Thruway or whatever they call that thing now. Still Dewey, right?
It heads north, so I use it.
I love the name because it's the Dewey Thruey.
And a great job, seriously, as someone who listened to a good part of the Fun Drive. Terrific effort, Joe.
Thanks, Dewey.
Terrific effort to all.
Well, thank you very much. Let's get to the topics at hand. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We talked about this yesterday, and we were reading some articles and talking about the impact, and we certainly mentioned Joe Biden a little bit, but once the dust settled on the debate from Wednesday, which since that time we also asked the question yesterday about
who won?
No, I want to get on that in a moment, but we were also asking the question about ratings, and
yes,
the ratings were very
high. That was great.
You know,
that
and now great. Now not as high, of course, as the Republican debate, but we weren't expecting them to be A and B, but compared to other debates.
The highest ever for a Democratic debate.
Right.
And I really like that. I always hate to hear from people making witty comments on Twitter and Facebook about, oh, I watched the game. Oh, I had better things to do, like play with the dog. No, there's nothing better to do than pay attention to the people who could be leading the country and
Absolutely.
Making a choice. Yeah.
Right. Republican, Democrat, whatever.
Right.
Absolutely. So the numbers were good, and that was, and we sort of alluded to that because we got some of the early numbers regards to streaming, and those numbers seem to be up as well. Okay. So now I sent out, I was looking over this, and both, all the major newspapers had something on this yesterday, and basically it was, what did Hillary Clinton's debate performance, which generally perceived as very good. She got high marks.
Generally perceived as the best, but
okay.
I restrained
myself from sending you, Alan, about 16 articles I found yesterday. Yeah.
Well, of course.
Because I said you might get mad at me.
But I would get mad at you because it would make the point. The point is, Bernie Sanders is being portrayed by some of these people as, you know, an outside...
What people?
You know, some people who don't like socialists in America. I don't want to name names, but you know. Now, the New York Times is a middle-class, FDR-like institution, and they had no less than 3 major articles on the front page about how Hillary had clobbered, all the opposition and did the best. I didn't see that. I watched it. I'm a trained political scientist. I know what to look for in content and audience reaction. I don't think so. I think that there's a decision now on the part of the media running, and that's one media running from the New York Post to the New York Times, that basically says we want to preserve what we've got now, the same old, and we're going to declare this the winner, and then that's that.
Okay, well, wait. Because I want to argue this the way Alan should have argued it, because there is an answer to my claims. It's two parts.
Oh, but only you know the answer.
Well, I did it. I'll do it better than you did. One is that
how condescending.
Hillary
I thought Lincoln
Chafee
was terrific.
Me too. Do you want to have our own conversation? Go ahead.
Hillary winning the debate doesn't mean all that much. You know, Mitt Romney won a big debate over Obama. It didn't give him the election. So it doesn't mean that much. It's interesting, but it's a blip. And number two is, while Hillary is generally perceived to have had the best debate performance, if you look at who was the most searched name yesterday on Facebook and on Twitter, it was Bernie Sanders. So he did great for himself.
And he also
holding
made
his
a lot
own
of,
and pushing.
And he
made a ton of money. So that's
money.
How I would argue if I were arguing
well,
against
I'm glad
Hillary.
You're not me, because that's not the way I would argue it. The way I would argue it is Bernie did great. There is a passion for this guy in this country because he's right about so many things. And when you see the money flowing in as a result of his performance, and you see all the other indications, I am telling you that I really am concerned about the way in which this is being painted by this collective think we call the media.
Okay, so I want to, because that's
I
not...
I understand you old guys have to stick together. It's okay.
Oh, now it has to be Ooh. The old guys. That's not right. That's not really right. And I'm sure everybody will write in and say, that's wrong,
I
Rosemary.
Know, it's ages.
You know, none of it matters. None of it matters. We're 15 months out. There's going to be more debates, as Rosemary noted. Romney won, and then Romney wasn't the nominee. We'll get to the point where we have a... The
well,
scorecard doesn't matter yet.
Speaking of points, the one I was trying to make at the very beginning was not that who the winner or loser was of the debate, but it was certainly widely perceived that Hillary Clinton had a very, very good debate performance. And the articles that I sent out last night from all the major newspapers was, what impact does this have on Joe Biden? And as Alan indicated yesterday, you know, you're looking from all along, this was Joe Biden coming in if Hillary Clinton was going to fall. And she has a really great debate performance. It hits everything that everybody wants her to hit. And so where does that leave Joe Biden? What Hillary Clinton's Democratic debate domination meant for Joe Biden? That's
okay.
The question before us.
Okay, so Joe Biden, I've always thought, would come in if Hillary failed, if Hillary wasn't doing well. I think most of us see that. I was looking at what the U.S. prosecutor who was looking into her case, who also was the prosecutor in the General Petraeus case, and he did return a serious charge there. And that's when I think Biden would have come in. I think everybody's right. She did extremely well. It certainly can't help his coming in. But I also saw that the President of the United States recently said it was a mistake. Now let's move beyond it. I think that could only be instructional to us as to what the U.S. prosecutor is going to do, which is not indict her for having done that.
Yeah, he's already said, the prosecutor in the Petraeus case said there's no criminal intent, there's no case here.
Yeah.
So I think I don't think Benghazi,
yeah,
and the emails as they're tied in, either the congressional investigations or this prosecutor is ever serious. I think it's all been hyped by the Republicans.
And we know that because McCarthy has admitted it.
He even said it, right.
Yeah, if Biden is going to get in this race, he's got to do it very quickly. Next week is the Benghazi hearing in the House.
Right.
We'll see if anything comes out of that. But, you know, Biden, he's got to do something here or not do it. I mean, if he wants to run, run. If he's waiting for a Hillary vulnerability,
it's not going to.
Well, all right. Is it going to be that big that she's going to fall and he's going to come in anyway? He's got to figure it out on his own whether he wants to do this or not. He's got family considerations, the death of his son recently. He's got to figure this out on his own,
Stu, you may remember Mario Cuomo back in the day. Now, I had this program with him all these years. I wrote a book about him and the rest of it. He was never going to run for president, but he always pretended he was going to run for president. Somehow he got something out of that, and it may well be that that's what's going on with Biden.
I never thought Biden would run unless there had been a draft Biden movement from the Democratic Party, where they themselves felt Hillary we're going to lose it. Under
Hillary wasn't in the race.
Yeah,
but to Alan's point about the media and their input, because now, of course, it speaks volumes that he hasn't said, "I'm not going to run." But he certainly has given no indication that he's really excited to run.
Exactly.
Every major interview that he has had, he has said, "I don't think I'm ready for it. I'm not up for it." He told Democratic officials that he wasn't up for it and didn't feel that he was
Colbert
ready for it.
That.
Right. I mean,
always
it's
qualified.
Been and every time that he's asked the question, he says, "You know, thank you. I still have to work this out with my family, but I don't think I'm that guy."
Yeah.
And so it seems that true, he hasn't said, "I'm not running," but watching the pre-debate of CNN saying that they had the extra podium and it was on the side of the stage and they were ready for him to walk in and they were going to put it up and they had an extra mic cord and they went through the whole thing. I mean, it made it sound like he was, you know, they were waiting for the plane to take off and for him to show up.
It would have been quite the spectacle if he suddenly showed
up
on that stage
did,
and said, "Hi, I'm Joe. I'm running for president."
But I think it was just, you know, kind of a false hype because obviously he had no intention of doing that.
Speaking of which, there was lots of hype for this thing. And as I said on the Media Project starring Stu Shinsky this week.
Rex Smith.
Starring Stu Shinsky.
Yeah. I think that CNN actually learned a great deal from Fox about how to do this and how to do it right and to make it into a debate that people could not fail to watch.
They certainly combined the two elements of the previous Republican debates. One were the tough questions directed right at the person who would most be affected by it, and then the pairing the people so that, you know, tell him what you think of her. So they took the two techniques and combined them. Plus they had Anderson Cooper, who's just he was an excellent moderator.
I didn't think so.
Disagree.
No, I disagree.
Mr. Rex Smith of the Times Union thought that Anderson Cooper was the star.
I thought he was too.
So that's 4-1? It's never stopped me from saying what I think.
I know.
No matter how much you would love to oppress me.
Well, I just think given what we have seen in past, and I agree, I thought it was great, the tough questions. I thought it was refreshing that he had the background knowledge and was asking the backup questions. And I don't know.
He was effortlessly putting in context for viewers.
It was
great.
He did a really, really good
job. You know, these things still,
really good job.
You know, at their heart, they're supposed to be informational, but they've turned into these spectacles.
Who told you they were supposed to be informational?
Well,
I don't think that's what it's about.
Well, on television, you know, it might not be.
Yeah, well, you know, Caleb checked in.
It's entertainment to a degree.
Caleb checked in.
What does Caleb have to say?
Well, he said, "What about Martin O'Malley?" His performance was largely ignored by the media, but from my perspective, he had a very strong debate. It seems hard for people to look past the Clinton-Sanders dynamic, and that's from Caleb in Albany. I just want you to know, I thought he was not good, O'Malley.
I thought he was cardboard.
There was a lot of, actually, media attention because I didn't think he was good. I wrote him off, and then I've been reading story after story, and online he's perceived as handsome. His closing statement was poetic.
Yeah,
and so he actually did get more media attention. He acquitted himself.
Yeah, well, I thought. Remember that Gene Shalit, the great critic, when it came to the movie Ishtar.
Yes.
He said Ishtar is sterile, and I thought so was he.
We just have about 2 or 3 minutes before break. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and then we'll wrap up before the news.
Ishtar.
Right after this.
Support comes from the Blue Marble, 191 North Pleasant Street in downtown Amherst. Grand opening of a second location at Thorne's Marketplace in Northampton on October 17th. TheBlueMarble.biz. Earth Angels Veterinary Hospital, Wappingers Falls. Combining alternative and conventional medicine for an integrative approach to pet care. EarthAngelsVet.com. KW Home, East Hampton, Massachusetts. Offering home furnishings and interior design services featuring furniture, rugs, lighting, and window treatments. KWHome.net. And the office of Dr. Vivian Letizia, Woodstock, orthodontic, cosmetic, and general dentistry, serving the Hudson Valley since 1986. WoodstockDentist.com.
We'll go to the BBC News in just a moment. Before we do, we'll check in with a couple of letters, and then we'll tackle some other topics on the other side of the news.
Here's one that I found very interesting and very provocative.
I must be in agreement with you.
Alan is completely correct. The New York Times view of the debate was completely screwed. I was shocked at their reporting of the debate. It was not what I saw. Bernie did a fabulous job.
I'm sorry. Skewed or screwed?
Skewed.
Okay.
Okay. And
not much of a difference. Actually.
Well, I understand. I just wanted to correct.
And Thomas wrote, not surprisingly, Alan, you're dead on about the media think. Could Rosemary possibly be accused of undying love for the Clinton dynasty, or if you're living in England, dynasty, simply because this one is female? Tom.
Jeez. I'm not going to honor that with a response.
Okay. You guys have a lot of relatives, don't you, who email into the roundtable.
Okay, here's one of somebody who doesn't completely admire me. Hi, gang. As he rails against the media, does Alan realize that he himself is a member of this group? With a near 24-hour presence on WMC, how could he think he was not? Who said I didn't think I was, son? You know, media is comprehensive. Did you want to...
No response.
That means you agree.
No,
all right. And Kathy says, I love Bernie, but the American populace is not ready to elect anyone who names themselves as a socialist, democratic, or otherwise. That said, Bernie was brilliant in that now Hillary owes him for the email dismissal. I think it was Bernie's way of forcing Hillary to give deference to Bernie's Wall Street concerns in her own platform. Well, I think that may be going a little too far, Kathy. My sense of it was that it was a genius move on Bernie's part.
Yeah, we're going to have to see how Bernie resonates outside of the Northeast, though. Yeah,
well, sure. Yeah. But, of course, everybody said Bernie couldn't be city councilman. He couldn't be mayor. He couldn't be congressman. He couldn't be senator.
Thinking of that farmer and that rancher in Wyoming, the farmer in Iowa, they are not going to go for Bernie Sanders. I just don't see it.
Well, there you go.
Plumber in Albuquerque.
You know, you can all take your shots. But I think Bernie has a way of defying the odds. And I think a lot of people are saying feel the burn.
Okay.
Do you want more?
No.
Okay.
Because climb
with Hill.
I find that we are out of time, but we're going to take a break. We will go get some news from the BBC, and then we'll be back and we'll tackle many other issues that we have before us this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Stu Shinsky, I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments roundtable at wamc.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan, Rosemary, Stu Shinsky, I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments roundtable at wamc.org. So the story that broke this morning, of course, that was... announced just about 7 this morning that the Obama administration will halt U.S. troop withdrawal in Afghanistan under the revised plans. The current force will stay in place through most of 2016 before dropping to about 5,500 at the end of next year or in early 2017, according to officials.
You know, when Bush, let's remember that it was Bush who did so much of this damage, sent in the troops. There was a widespread cry of you do this, you break it, you own it, and they broke it, and they now have to own it. So you can just sort of envision the situation room where the generals, the president, are sitting around and say, okay, what if? Okay, what if we really do take everybody out? Well, then the bad guys come in and they grab it and they take the whole thing. And we really look bad. So we have to keep those guys there.
Until something else happens and they change their mind again. Because just like they said, there would be 9,000 people and now it's going to be 5,500 people. Something happens next week, they may revise it again. And you know what? Obama's not going to be here in 2017, so it's going to be someone else's decision to make anyway. So this is just nice, but we'll see what it really looks like at the end of this process.
I think you make a profound point. I do.
Well, I think this is one more stopgap measure. We're going to send in a few men into a different battlefield in what is shaping into this grand problem of ISIS. Boko Haram is connected to, has pledged allegiance to ISIS. What's missing still is a grand plan. Here's how we're going to stop them. Here's who's in with us. And this is part of a continuing action that will go on. Where's NATO? This is what NATO is supposed to be doing, and we don't have it. I'm pleased that there are, four other Central African countries that are in on this deal, but that's not enough people to do anything. And why now? Why not last year when those 300 girls were kidnapped by Boko Haram? It's just very odd to me that it's happening right now, and these are the numbers. The Taliban is resurgent in Afghanistan. This is a joint, big, giant problem, and we ought to be looking at it with our allies in the context of a military alliance.
And you haven't said the one key word here that I was looking for, which was Putin. Because there is a separate thing going on.
Except they're joining because Putin now has involved himself in Syria. And I've said from the beginning of
joining?
The – well, he's now in Syria. So the ISIS problem is now connected to our Russia resurgent problem.
That's correct.
And I said from the beginning of the Ukraine adventure that this is where the United States ought to be getting involved. I think we've had a lot of – terrible missteps militarily, but stopping him in Crimea would have been consistent with our policy. And I think NATO, this is a NATO problem.
Yes, but all I'm saying is that the Putin thread here is different from the ISIS thread that we and our, quote, allies are taking on. And it makes the whole thing much more complicated.
Well, it doesn't. In fact, Putin's measures in Syria so far have been to take out rebel forces that have been aligned with the United States. That's allowed ISIS to get stronger. So, yeah, definitely is a conflict.
What did you all think? Did you see the President Obama interview with Steve Kroft?
I didn't, no.
On 60 Minutes?
I didn't, no.
Okay,
I'll go back and
then I'll pass.
Homework.
Okay. Watch that, and then let's discuss.
Because
I think there was some really interesting things in there. But he talked a lot about the president talked a lot about Russia, and I just wanted to
get
your viewpoint on that. But no sense going there if no one saw it. Okay, so let's move.
If a bear walks in the woods and you don't know it,
that's right.
Didn't happen.
And it didn't happen. A
tortured mixed metaphor, if ever there was.
We were. You know, we had that fun drive and people weren't – we were all weren't paying attention to the normal stuff we pay attention to. Okay. So, let's talk real quick about the troops, 300 troops to Cameroon to aid the fight in Boko Haram. And as you say, Rosemary, it's all tied together.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think – so are you asking that question, why now in this case too?
Yeah. Why now? I mean, Boko Haram became a real problem last year. 2014 is when we first, you know, started paying attention as a country when they kidnapped 300 girls from a school. So why a year later, a year and some later,
why
are we 300? Sending? 300, yeah.
It's a high school gymnasium, 300 people.
Supposedly it's because they have special surveillance and intelligence gathering skills and they're supposed to support the African troops that are there. But, I mean, let's talk about American success training forces in other countries to protect themselves. Yeah, great. We're great in Iraq. How about Afghanistan? How's that working out? That would be something I'd love to see some study on, too.
So the question is, in that very situation room I was talking about,
right?
Are you thinking three steps ahead or no steps ahead? Are you saying, okay, based on the news today that we have, do we have to say we're going to keep those 5,000 troops there as opposed to any – and I think you make this point, Rosemary – any strategy that makes long-term strategy?
I want to see the plan. I mean, maybe there is one. I hope that there is, but
I'm assuming
the evidence isn't there.
Do you want to get to some letters now, and then we'll go to some
letters. We'll go to some letters here. Okay. And so, high panel, we broke it, so we bought it. But now it's time to either sell it or get rid of it. Why does this have to be our problem, since for all of our influence and money spent, we have gone nowhere and will continue to go nowhere?
That's in regards to Afghanistan?
I think so.
Yes.
I think so. I think that's right. Okay. And let's see here. Constantine says, hi all, shame on President Obama for continuing this useless war. Well, I don't know. If you were him, what would you do? I mean, I always try to put myself in the guy's place. What would you do? Say, okay, go ahead, Boko Haram and all the other guys, go ahead and grab whatever you can. And whatever you do, torturing people, killing women, beating them in the street, doing that, and we'll stand by and say, okay, we're going home. Can we do that? It's a tough one.
We are the world's policemen, and it's always going to be that way.
Okay, so then Barbara says, Bernie, who is correct on so many domestic issues doesn't have the scope Hillary does on foreign affairs. Whatever the question he was asked by Anderson Cooper, his response was basically the same and reverted to the obvious disparity between the 1 and 99%. Clinton's answers were more broad. And then John says, just want to remind Rosemary that one of Hillary's biggest political liabilities is the perception that she, in capital letters, she is one of the old boys, old guys. All right.
And no fair that she's one of the old boys and she didn't even get the top job yet. You know, you have to have the power before you get to be criticized for having the power.
She's got a lot of power, doesn't she?
Yes, she does.
And, you know, okay. So Scott, are you done?
Okay, yeah, I'm done. Sorry. No, I'm
no,
done.
No, it's okay.
You may go ahead.
No, I don't want to do it if you're not finished. Okay. Scott says, Wolf Blitzer beat up Lincoln Chafee yesterday in an interview.
Yeah.
Wolf was trying to get Chafee to announce he was withdrawing. He was out of line. O'Malley was way out there. I could never vote for him. He made Bernie look moderate. Really? I didn't think so. I thought O'Malley was just sort of being, you know, in the middle. And then Grace says, Hillary won. She did enough to keep Biden out. Congressman Hanna has said that, in his opinion, the Benghazi investigation is an attempt to attack her. We will soon be hearing the executive introduced as Madam President.
Hmm.
The one who's usually quoted on that is McCarthy, said that. Meddens says, Walker says, don't dismiss Martin O'Malley, Veep even. O'Malley comes with a terrific background as governor twice and mayor, and he was a southern gentleman lacking the extrovertish pizzazz we get excited by. But if you watch his interview with the Atlantic magazine's James Fallows in front of a live audience this summer, you will see his mind at work. Extremely intelligent and a broad progressive thinker. Very good understanding of business, economics, environment. We should not sell this guy short. People for national politics. Okay.
More homework.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is Maryland the state that's going to be in command for a VP selection?
Yeah.
I mean, is it that powerful a state? I'm not sure it is.
No.
Jorley says, do we think a Clinton-Sanders run or a Clinton-O'Malley? I'm a Sanders fan, but we got to be prepared.
I like Jerry Brown.
That's funny. We had a letter this morning said, which of you people said Jerry Brown?
Me. It was I.
Yeah. Jerry Brown was. So, look, he's done very well out there in this last time around, right? Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
As governor.
In each of his times around.
Yeah.
I think he's even talked about it, but I think there is an age issue
that
he's concerned about.
Yeah, she needs a younger.
I remember when he was the kid, his father was the grown-up.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But he would be 78 when he was running, if he did it, and almost 79 when he took office.
Well, that's the new, 20.
He would. And if you got two terms, you're 88. Just saying.
That's the
new adolescence.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want more or not?
Let's take a break, actually.
Okay,
we'll
sure.
come back, and then we'll go to a couple of other subjects. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after the short break.
Support comes from Lucky Chocolate, Saugerties, New York, offering a cafe with seasonally changing menus, including local produce and organic ingredients. LuckyChocolates.com. Center for Better Hearing, Glens Falls, New York. Doctors Susan Boja and Cara Bador providing comprehensive hearing and hearing aid services. HearingBest.com. Colorful Stitches Fine Yarn, Lenox, Massachusetts, featuring natural fiber designer yarns for hand knitters and crocheters. ColorfulStitches.com. And TJ's Tailor Rental and Party Plus, Owners Jim and Tamara Falcone providing tool and equipment rentals, tents, bounce houses, water slides, and party supplies for events. TJsTaylorRental.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Roundtable and to our panel discussion. We have about 13 minutes together, and we'll go over a couple more topics and then go back to some letters as well. I sent a couple of articles regarding the we were just talking about Jerry Brown in California, so let's talk about something going on in California. And this is the debate over the curriculum of yes means yes. So we're talking about this issue of consent, and of course we've all heard about no means no, and but there is also this, the laws that are coming that yes means yes, and it is a question of some curriculum of how you correctly say yes, mandating the teaching of affirmative consent as a sexual standard. And in the past year, affirmative consent has become the mandated standard on college campuses in New York and California, and is being voluntarily adopted by a growing number of universities beyond just these two states. The idea is simple. In matters of sex, silence, or indifference aren't consent. Only a freely given yes counts. And if you can't tell, you have to ask.
And everyone
so, Alan, you want to do it?
No, but clearly this is
the fun drives over, people. The fun drives over.
This is a great place to really get in trouble. This idea, as you move around the bases, you have to stop at each base and say, okay, can we go to the next thing? And what about the man? I mean, does he have to say, you know, it's...
Men love this kind of talk. And the studies show that young people in California are getting it. They're not as scared of yes means yes than we adults are. And in my limited experience, if you say, I really want to do this, yes, is very seductive as well as empowering for women. This is not a bad thing. It's wonderful.
So why do you think adults are, is it just overall?
Because we never did it that way.
And our weirdness always, about sex in general.
We're totally
I always did it that way.
You said, okay.
No, I never.
Do you want to do it?
No.
How
it
shall I do it? When? We don't talk. You just go into bed and do it.
Would you sign this form?
That's totally not how it is. But yeah, that's how we adults are portraying it, like a contractual thing, and it isn't. It's simply talking to your partner.
The one thing about this that when I was reading it is that it doesn't. And there was one mention of it, but it doesn't seem as though. I understand it, and I get it, and I agree with it, and I agree with you completely. It still doesn't get into those issues of what if they're both wasted?
Well, actually, it does. I mean, and the studies show that kids get this too. 97% got it, that if the girl or the guy are inebriated or out on drugs, then you can't give consent. You have to be in your right mind to give consent. Yeah. That's part of the deal.
Seems to me, if I'm a college administrator here, and I would rather see less than more sex going on in my place, this would be a natural. You say, every time you put up one of these demands, you are basically saying, this is very risky behavior. You probably would be better off not doing it.
Well.
But they're doing it.
But in terms of
that, hasn't really stopped people from doing it up to now.
Well, not since the beginning. We know that. Right. We know about the apple, right. And we know about all of that. However, the question is there? It's not whether it stops everybody from doing it. Will it stop some people from doing it?
It's a legal technique. That's what this is. I mean, yes, the 16-year-old boy and the 17-year-old girl, whatever, they're going to do what they're going to do. But when this becomes a, I didn't want to do that and he made me, this becomes legal clarity, whether or not this consent was given in a direct way or an indirect way.
But it's still he said, she said.
But it gives a legal direction in how to get to the bottom of that.
Of what really happened,
right.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
It also is gender neutral, too. I mean, men get to use this, too. They get to say yes. And our boys are put in a position where you have to be macho, you have to do it to show the other guys. This stops all that, too, or has the potential to stop a lot of that as well.
And I think the point that you made, which is certainly comes out in these articles, is that the young people understand
they get
that.
It.
They
yeah.
get it. And that affirmative consent, which is actually quite brilliant, seems to have been something that they've adopted more than the adults have.
Right. It's a different generation and different risks to having sex than we had in our time. And I think this is really good for women. Does not hurt boys. It can be good for men and boys, too.
And this stuff comes out much more now because of sexting and social media,
right.
Where it used to be behind the bedroom door, whatever you're going to do, you're going to do. Now it's out there.
Right.
There's pictures. There's this. I didn't want that. Here's the video of this. So this gets to the bottom, ideally, I think, in theory of what was the intent and the agreement legal way.
Just think of peer advising, too. You know, a young girl is talking to her friends about a guy and what she's going to do. And those friends are going to say to her, do you want to do it? Is this something you want? Have you thought about? That's a whole new discussion opens up when the rules are changed in this way.
Yeah, and it'll protect the girl who maybe doesn't want to do that.
Right.
And it'll also maybe will protect the guy or vice versa who thought but didn't think.
It.
And right,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I mean, we were joking a moment ago about, you know, signing consent forms and so forth. But it does also include not only verbal consent, but also what most of these policies call clear nonverbal cues.
Oh, yeah, that's an easy one, what a clear nonverbal cue is.
Well, I can think of a few.
Yeah, I can think of a few. I think
when you nod, you might make a sound of pleasure or something. I guess that would be what they're talking about.
Well, somebody wrote me and said, Michael wrote and said, Alan, the baseball metaphor is patriarchal and outdated. If both parties are in the rated, no one can consent. Also, there's nothing sexier than consent. I don't fully understand this letter, but I get it. I wanted to read it because he was calling me a patriarch.
Rosemary said she understood it.
I understand that. Yeah. Consent is sexier. I mean, the whole thing about love, I mean, listen to all the lyrics of the songs, and you know more lyrics than I do, Ellen, are about surrender and giving yourself up into someone else. That's like, you know, it's forgetting yourself while you're in the presence of someone else. And if you consent to that, wow, what an honor and a privilege, and how sexy is that?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Rosemary, 10 o'clock Sunday night
on
WAMC.
Like Dr. Ruth, yes.
Do
you want more, Joe? Or
no, we have a letter, and it's from Jeff, and he says, yes means yes is absolutely ridiculous, and I'm disgusted by this narrative painting all women as victims with no agency and men as womenizers and rapists.
Where is that written? That's not true. I mean, in fact, there's much concern right now, and the courts are siding with men who have been accused in campuses across the country as awareness of your sexual rights and your ability to fight against assault has become known to women. Men are fighting back, and they're winning, saying the schools are going after them with no evidence, unfair hearings where they're not allowed to present their case. I think there's equal concern that our young men and our young women are treated correctly.
Yeah, the burden of proof is much different here.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be. The burden of proof should be high in all cases where you're talking about behavior that's going to get you in jail or kicked out of school. You have to have a lot of proof.
Well, not surprising. We were getting a lot of letters on this.
We'll Boy, are we those. Ever. Oh, yes. Okay. Michael says, what about yes now and no later when he dumps her and she charges him with rape?
Well, again, that's the idea that
Joseph in the Bible.
Stu pointed it out. You got a legal case here. Here's what she said when I asked, and it's there. It's in the record. It should be a help.
Right. Okay. And let's see. We have a lot of other stuff on Bernie. And Elizabeth says, it seems your panelists have taken up the corporate media habit of judging the horse race instead of the issues. No one has addressed the important issues that Sanders raises and are the basis of his popularity. Ladies and gentlemen, I have. So sorry. Wrong.
Many
Thank
times.
Thank you. Yeah. Right. Okay. Isaiah says, Alan, have you tried asking a college kid to not have sex? Better tell kids to do it right if they're going to do it at all. David says, you don't have to hold the top position to be one of the old boys. Hillary was a U.S. Senator, Secretary of State, not the top, but definitely high positions in our government. And Vane says, Obama is ordering troops to return to Afghanistan in order to fulfill his presidential duty. It is the president's duty to become one of whom future presidents may blame their current problems. Okay. All right. And Robert says, I think the answer will be a modified Delaney card. You remember Delaney cards?
Mm-mm.
Well, the teachers used to have these books. And in the books were these slots. And they could move around the students. They gave them permanent seatings. And these were called Delaney cards. Are you following me at all?
Yes.
So that's, I don't know. The modified Delaney card, tracking the stages of a sexual interaction rather than than attendance.
I know this is going to come out wrong, but how many years ago was this? Delaney card.
A long time ago, because I'm 74 and I remember it from high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I just wanted to know. That's why I knew and you didn't.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if it was like a
new one on me, too.
It was McGuffey Reader or something. I didn't know what was going on.
We have computers that do that sort of thing now, but it's the same idea.
Okay. This was personal to me, so I'm not going to read it. Alan, the baseball metaphor, we did that. Don says, I just wanted to thank you for the lively debate discussion this morning. Very thoughtful and entertaining, and the varied perspectives are always appreciated. I also wanted to give a little link to Mr. Hopper. It actually is not Hopper.
Rob Chacon is our
for
board.
For sneaking in that Black Sabbath acoustic guitar solo just before the bottom of the hour. Gave me a big smile on my way to work. And I heard no discussion of abortion issues during the Democratic debate. Why do you think this topic was not mentioned?
That's a good question. I wondered that, too. It would have been the opposite, the flip side of the Republican debate, where they were all horrified at abortion and take money away from Planned Parenthood. I think you would have heard the opposite, women's choice Planned Parenthood does much
topics.
Good work.
But there was reference.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was some reference to the war on women, I believe.
Yeah.
Without specifically getting into the abortion thing. We heard from John, who thinks that the bumper music is awesome. Let's see. I guess there's more, I'm sure, but I don't know.
Well, we're out of time.
Yeah, okay. So that
we
that
have about
it.
13 seconds, so that's time for me to thank Stu Shinsky for making his way up here and looking forward to our next venture together, sir.
Always appreciate the invitation. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, Stu. Rosemary, thank you as always. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yes,
Alan,
sir.
Thank you. We'll see
Irene,
you tomorrow.
Good night. Irene, good night.
We'll be back after this.
Show.